Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting Sherry. Today we have talented actor Damien Poitier. He's going to be talking about his movie Captain America Civil War, his game that he's involved in called Payday 2, and also the diversity panel he was on called with WhedonCon. Hi, how are you today, Damien?
Another day in paradise. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm really excited to have you here. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background about how you became an actor and stuff.
So I actually became an actor professionally probably around 2000. And I've also, at the same time, I actually was first introduced to performing via stunts. So I became a stunt performer, and through that I started acting, and acting was always my passion. I actually got involved in martial arts to improve my ability to perform action for, you know, the various stunt sequences I was looking forward to performing. And then stunts kind of started taking off, and I really got involved in that. And it was a great many years where, well, about 10 or so years where I was really pretty focused on being a stunt performer. And in that time, acting gigs kept coming up until I was finally like, you know what? I always did want to be an actor. Maybe I should go and do what it was I originally got in this business to do.
That's cool. That is so cool.
Yeah.
And it's easier on the body, right?
Well, it depends on what kind of acting you do, you know. I mean, people lose 150 pounds to do roles, so
that's true.
It can be. Yep.
That's true. I mean, look at Hugh Jackman. Man goes up and down in weight.
Oh yeah. Yep. So it all depends on how you do it.
You have a very diverse career. How do you choose your roles? Do you have a criteria?
I have what I prefer. Right now we're in the get my name out there phase still. Just kind of get the name out and pick. Most of the roles, I've only turned down a few things. Most of the time I'll just take the role and then make something of it and then move forward with it, because, you know, there's so many high-profile people now that until you actually have a notable profile, the option of taking a role is relatively tricky. I mean, there's roles that I look at that I'm like, oh, you know what, I don't really want to do that, but if I was offered the role at this point in my career, I would probably take it, you know?
It's just
the way of the business. So you gotta take the jobs that you're offered to get the job you want sometimes.
Is it still 90% of Screen Actors Guild isn't working? Is that still the stat?
I'm not exactly certain what the stat is, but there's a lot of people. A lot of production has gone overseas. It's gone north to Canada. You know, there's a few shows in Mexico. I mean, of course, Atlanta and the southeast is doing very well, and business has actually picked up here in LA as well. But yeah, there's still. If you look at the numbers, there's still a significant amount of people who are probably out of work. I would not disagree with that stat. I don't know about 90%, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember that. I mean, it's been up and down, but it's just hard to believe so many talented people can't get work. But do you think that's because of, like, you know, the way the programming is on television, where it's all like reality stuff, or is that just the way it's always been.
I think it's always been that way, but reality definitely did put a damper on you know, people being able to break in, because it really put an emphasis on celebrity culture instead of performance culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it put an emphasis on personality instead of ability. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot more personalities than there are performers out there in terms of what's being celebrated and looked at. You know,
I think that's a shame, don't you? I mean, it's sad. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a place for personalities in there, but it shouldn't be the glut of it. There should be a balance. And I think, you know, with the problem with reality is it's relatively cheap to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as long as you have a it's funny because reality is where they're discovering people, quote unquote, as opposed to actually doing it in you know, in higher level productions. But that actually brought down the attention span of people with new developments, because they're like, okay, if you don't have a following, if you're not already established, we don't want to bother to put you in something that's going to cost us millions of dollars. We can put you in this little thing here that only costs us, you know, a couple million dollars as opposed to tens of millions of dollars, and develop and quote unquote develop you there. So it's kind of tricky. Yeah. Well, it's this case.
That's scary.
But think about it. Every time you, especially nowadays, most productions are pretty expensive. So you're literally betting millions of dollars of marketing and production and things on every single performer that you hire.
That's true.
So with such a large number of people who are known, who do have quote unquote celebrity status, of course you're going to go with a known commodity over someone new, unless the new person blows you away. You know, you kind of look to this person fits in this category. This is what we need. Use them. There's so much work involved in getting a production together. Anywhere you can cut corners.
That's true.
People
are going
to try to do. So, yeah.
You ran a diversity panel at WhedonCon. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the name of the panel was Why Diversity in Entertainment? And it was kind of a, you know, I talk about it a lot because growing up, I read, you know, comic books, I played video games, I was involved in a lot of fantastical things. That was kind of one of my refuges. And it was actually also one of my inspirations for becoming a part of this business and in how I wanted to live my life. So it wasn't until I got a little older that I really looked around and realized that, you know, obviously it's gotten a lot better in recent years, but there just weren't that many characters that I could portray that were already a part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
You know, especially the ones that looked or acted the way I wanted to act. You know, they're all stuck in the more conventional tones. But diversity, why diversity in entertainment? What I think we need to focus on is we need to open up the POV of the storyteller. You know, okay, we're getting a lot more blacks in storytelling. We're getting a lot more gays and all different kinds of people in storytelling, which is excellent. But we don't have diverse point of views on this, which would allow us to really see, you know, new angles and new things, just, you know, getting new point of views on what's going on.
I understand that. Yeah, you know what came to mind when you were saying that? There was this old movie that I really love. It's called Majority of One. Did you ever see that?
I have not.
It's an old movie. It's about a Jewish woman with her children going to Japan right after World War II, and that she despises the Japanese because of the war. And it's nothing to do with the individuals. It's just because her son and her husband were killed during the war.
Right.
And it's a beautiful movie, but the Jewish lady was played by a non-Jewish person, Rosalind Russell. The Japanese man was played by a non-Japanese man, Alec Guinness. And today it would have been a very controversial movie because it was so – but it was a wonderful movie at the same time. I mean, it's so difficult because on one side you're like, it's called acting, and then on the other side you're saying, but there's people who could play it more authentically because they're actually that. And it's
right.
Is that part of the discussion that you have when you have the discussion?
We didn't really get into that. We were more talking about – oh, hold on one second. There they are. My dogs decided to escape. They just returned. Come on.
Oh.
What are you guys doing? So it was kind of an interesting panel because we didn't really have a whole lot of – like one of the panelists was not at all involved in the material. He was kind of promoting his book on there. And the other – and so it was really a discussion between myself and one other guy. And it's like all these conversations. We went in a bunch of different directions. So which I like. But we didn't really get into the authenticity of performance, which is a relevant factor, but it's also, like I said, but if you had a person of a person that was either Jewish or a Japanese person involved in a production, hold on, guys. go in the yard or you know, involved in a production, then it would not have been – somebody might have made that call. Come on. I can't believe the dog's got loose. Sorry about that. Get in the yard.
He wants to be in the interview.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We got them. They're all back where they're supposed to be. So it really depends on it's really about adding those relevant factors of someone who's from one of the – and maybe there was. I don't know. Maybe there was someone from one of the cultures portrayed in it, and they just made an executive decision that in order to get the film made, they had to do that. It, like I said, it's a very difficult situation when you're dealing with the amount of money that you have to deal with to get these things done to really solve all the problems in a way that's going to make everyone happy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So I can kind of understand that it could have been difficult, especially at the time, you know, where there are a lot of prominent Japanese and or, you know, Jewish. I'm not certain. I'd have to look at exactly when it came out and do the research.
I think it was in the the actual movie, takes place right after, but I think the actual movie was in the late 50s, early 60s. But George Takei was one of the actors in the movie he worked at. He didn't even have a line. He spoke Japanese to Alec Guinness. He was one of his servants. But, I mean, there were Japanese people that were acting in Hollywood, but Alec Guinness was a superstar. I mean, so was Russell.
Exactly, that's funny. And that makes it tricky because, you know, you want to obviously have names that would draw attention to your project, but at the same time, the names that are kind of involved or that would be best suited to portraying your project aren't necessarily large enough to to headline it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And they're also brilliant actors, so that also helps.
Yeah.
I when you were talking about it, just came to mind. So I just wanted to know what your opinion was.
As a rule, I don't like it. Though as a business decision, I can understand where it took place so much, and whereas it's still obviously very very much a problem now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once again, it's like I said, the issue is on the development side of there not being enough active individuals of these less represented groups producing quality entertainment that will enable the development of people who would authentically portray these characters.
That's true. You know what really bothers me the most is, have you ever noticed that women sort of disappear from film between the ages of 40 and 70?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Women disappear from movies and TV shows between the ages, unless they're really big stars like Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah.
Between 40 and 70, they go poof. They're hot, and they see them all the time, and then they hit that age, and unless they're big stars,
can't find a job.
They go poof.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's very – there's a lot of conventions in Hollywood that are, you know, that are – outdated, I guess would be the best way to put it, you know, and it's an issue of trying to correct the system, and system tries to autocorrect itself because it doesn't, the problem with expanding a system is it doesn't really want to expand, it wants to stay with what works.
Yeah.
So you really have to introduce something that really works in order for it to go, oh, wait, we've not accounted for that, and that's something that should be within our purview, let's take on that. So it's a tricky, you know, situation to accomplish.
I was watching the Tony Awards and it was very diverse. Older actors, black actors, Latino, there was everybody.
The stage has always been a lot more diverse.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think it's because it's so old? You know, it's been around forever. It has a great loving feeling within it that doesn't happen in as much in under parts of the industry. Do you think that's it?
There's a variety of factors. There's a, you know, performance factor. I mean, obviously many, especially with musical theater, there's always been a greater amount of diversity in what you get from singers and what you get from dancers and things like that. So there's been a more quick embrace of diversity and entertainment in the theater. And, you know, you look at costs, it's a lot less cost for a lot of productions. So, I mean, some of these productions are cost as much as a movie, but it's a lower line cost to product ratio. So taking these risks is not as big a deal.
That's true. Look at the poor people with their salaries.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people who are doing theater for the love. They're not really doing it for the...
Exactly. I mean, most theater actors are also working soaps, doing other things,
mm-hmm.
cabarets, anything else to make a living, because the theater is a great desire and love and passion, but you don't make money.
Right. So I think that's when you pull out the economic factors, talent really gets a chance to shine through a lot more.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think that's and don't get me wrong, there's many, many strides being made and things are doing well. It's just I've noticed there's certain disconnects and certain things that are missing from the efforts. You know, that that I've noticed missing. I mean, I'm sure other people notice other things from their perspective. So.
What's your biggest disconnect that you see?
Once again, it's the convention. Well, actually, honestly, it's, you know, nowadays there's so much historical information being released and revealed and things like that, that, you know, to see something like Exodus or Noah or Gods of Egypt is so disingenuous. You know, these things where it's you know, you look at the region that these things took place in, and you're not casting actors from that region or even look like they could be from that region.
That's true.
And it's very true. It's just, it's a disconnect of, like, it's once again, it's point of view. There's there's still a very singular point of view from which all of these creative endeavors flow. They're not looking out and saying, okay, if we're going to do something here, why don't we get people from here to portray the roles in that place? Why don't we do some research on what the people look like back then? Why don't, you know what I mean? It's a question of utilizing the now extremely large breadth of knowledge we have with the internet and things like that to actually improve how we portray ourselves in the world and who did what and when they did it.
That's
the disconnect. It's like there were so many things that are attributed to people who weren't involved in it. And it would be great if we could start doing a better job of that, because it would actually enrich, because if you're brought up your entire life thinking you did everything, or that your family did everything, you deserve everything, then you discount the potential contributions of others as well as their actual contributions. But if you realize that the world is a much broader place, and there's so many more people involved in the situation you find yourself into than you would originally thought, then it expands your knowledge and expands your potential for listening to people and being open to new ideas, or being open to old ideas that come from new places.
That's true.
That's kind of my thing on it. It's just, like I said, the point of view needs to be expanded drastically, in my opinion.
We really need to
get away from this singular vision of what things are. And it's important that we don't move into another singular vision, because that's an easy thing to happen as well.
It's a rich, like Joseph and the Technicolor robe, you know, all the different colors, everybody.
Yeah, there's so many different points. There's so many different points of view. There's so many different relevant factors in how we came to the world we're in now. You know, let's share some of those other ones. Let's expand what we accept as what is. You know, let's find out what some of these truths could be.
Absolutely.
You know?
We're at the 10 minute. I want to give you time to talk about your stuff. You have two things that we were going to discuss. One was your game, Payday 2, and the other one was Captain America Civil War. You can talk about both, whatever you want to. It's your time.
Okay, thank you. So, Payday 2, it's the second version. There's a game called Payday the Heist. And the easiest way to describe it is it was based off the first scene from Dark Knight Returns, kind of. It's got the feel from the first scene of Dark Knight Returns, where it's guys in masks robbing banks. And the thing is, it's a four-person cooperative game where you're playing the bank robbers with your friends. And, you know, and it's actually, Like, I like it because you actually get penalized if you kill hostages or if you get in fights with guards. You know, obviously on some missions, your better bet is to do it as quickly and quietly as possible because your goal is obviously to rob the bank and not to rack up a body count.
Right.
Now, they a few years ago, they were about to revamp it and do Payday 2 because the game was successful. And we did a web series called Payday the Web Series. And they reintroduced the four characters with four new performers. And I was one of those performers. And it started kind of a broader narrative as to what the characters were and what the world the characters were involved in was about. And after we finished that, I started recording lines for the game and as a, you know, kind of a minor audition. And they were like, no, actually, we do want to use you. So I took over the lines and the voice acting for the character of Chains. And then they decided to utilize my face as well. So in the game, the face and the voice of the character Chains is me. And when we do all of our live action things, except with the exception of a few that were filmed overseas that I couldn't get to, I portray Chains in all of the live action trailers as well. And they do a lot of what's called downloadable content where they, you know, put patches in the game and put in new missions and new weapons and new characters. And a lot of times they'll do a live action trailer for those downloadable contents. So then I'll do the live action trailer and then go back in the booth and record the lines for the new characters and the new situations. So it's in terms of transmedia, it's actually doing some very, very, like, next generational stuff. No, I don't believe there's any other game that's really hitting, utilizing live action plus video game downloadable content and voice acting and things in the same manner. So it's kind of a revolutionary game in terms of what it's doing. And of course, there's talk of expansion from the web series into some other live action, you know, endeavors as well, and seeing how those might connect to the video game would also be amazing. So it's been a fun game. It's a great team. The guys at Starbreeze, the people who make it are called Starbreeze out of Sweden, and it's very much a family atmosphere. You know, I've had the owner of the company over for dinner. We've talked. It's a very, very close-knit group, and they're great to work with. I've had a lovely time being a part of this video game. So,
and you were telling me, you were telling me off the show that it's very, very popular.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's got 14, I think there's like 14 million units have been moved. And there's at least like 3 to 5 million players, like basically on a daily basis on the Steam chat, which is the, you know, the online playing and things like that. So it's a very popular game. It's only growing in popularity. And, you know, they have guest stars. They just announced like our newest downloadable content is the biker pack, and Ron Perlman's actually playing the biker. And he did the character in a live action trailer. Yeah, and he actually did the voice in the game as well.
Cool.
Yeah. So
cool.
You know, so they're really expanding the game in fun ways. We had Giancarlo Esposito play the character. There's been a lot of notable
really
people that have come
people.
And been guest stars with us. Yeah. And it's been a lot of fun. So
that is really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's enjoyable. Like I said, it's a great family. And they're going to be at E3, the Electronic Arts Convention in Los Angeles. It starts actually today. So they'll be there today.
Ooh.
I'll be there tomorrow between 12 and 2 doing at the Payday booth, doing an appearance. And I might show up later in the week. I'm not sure yet. It depends on how my schedule shows up. But, yeah, I'll definitely be there tomorrow between 12 and 2 promoting the game. So that's... And I said it's ongoing, and it's been quite rewarding and a lot of fun. And I'm very happy to be a part of that.
And
so
where
that's
located?
One thing. It's the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Okay, just so people know that are listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
And and your movie. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Civil War was what are we? 10, 11 movies in?
I don't know.
The Marvel Universe. And
yeah,
you want to talk
huge.
About a revolution, it's something else where they've done incredible things with making this huge interconnected story throughout several different movies and many different movies and many different characters and being able to focus on different characters and give them their spotlight and then swing around and focus on another character while making it all feel inclusive and all a part of the same universe. You know, I mean, you look at something like Ant-Man and you're like, okay, you got Ant-Man and you have Avengers Age of Ultron, but it works. You know, you can clearly see that they're in the same universe and the same things are happening. So Civil War was when everything came to a head. When two of the main characters, Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Captain America, Steve Rogers, they had a difference of philosophical opinions that that ended up causing a split between the heroes, and they ended up fighting. So I play a small part in the grand scheme of things, part of a much larger event, because I was involved in the event that actually set off the final friction between the two that made them disconnect as friends and become enemies. So that was fun. And I don't want to give away spoilers in case you haven't seen the movie, but you know, it was a fun part. I got to act with some of the, I don't, like I said, I don't want to spoil it. I mean, it's pretty out there. I mean, that my scene was with Scarlett Johansson, and the one of the most fun parts about it for me was that my character didn't die.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah,
could be brought back.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But so it's very interesting to be. You know, because I've worked on several different, I've worked on a lot of different things for Marvel. Some actually not. This is the first time you've seen my face.
Oh.
I've been involved. Yeah, because I was in Avengers. I was the prosthetics model and performer for Thanos, and I was involved in Thor 2. I did some creature work in that, and a few other things as well. And but this is the first time I've actually, you know, been on screen, my face, my voice, the whole deal. So that was exciting for me to, after so many years of being a part of this thing. And I've been a comic reader since I was 9 years old. So that's also been very exciting to be involved in portraying these characters that I've been following the adventures of since I was
that's
a child.
That's really cool. Do you have anything coming up that you want to let everybody know about?
I don't think there's anything I can actually talk about.
That is one of the hardest
nowadays,
thing about talking to actors. Nobody can talk about it.
There's non-disclosure agreements, you know, and that's actually all a part of your promotional level. You know, it's when I was working on a G.I. Joe 2, and you know, they're like, don't tweet anything, don't do anything. And then we're doing a stunt test, and The Rock take a picture of all of us and tweets it out, and they didn't say anything. So it's like you can. It really depends upon your level. Once again, that's a part of growing my audience and growing my influence and how they see me as a performer, getting to the point where I can actually talk about the things I'm involved in. So we're still getting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's things I can't talk about right now that you guys will see in the next few months or years. Who knows what the release schedule is on these things. But rest assured, you will be seeing more of me.
And,
definitely in Payday.
Any...
I can talk about the Payday stuff. There's a lot of that going on.
You can talk about Payday.
Right.
Are there any events other than the one this weekend that your fans can see you at?
I'm planning on being at San Diego Comic-Con as well. I'm not sure what the schedule or what I'll be involved in down there, but I do plan on doing that. And then there's a possibility I might be at New York Comic-Con. Not certain yet. And but there's a few comic conventions, and there are a few different Payday events that we haven't firmed up yet that I'm sure I'll be making appearances at. So there will definitely be, and I, you know, I put all that on my social media. So anything, yeah, you can look at any of my social media accounts, and I'll pop up whenever I can confirm that I'll be somewhere.
All right.
So
check your Twitter, your Facebook page, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, what else? All of them.
All
and,
that stuff.
It's all, yeah, all that stuff, and it's all Damien Poitier. It's all just my name, which, of course, is difficult to spell. But if you spell it right, you can find me across the board.
Yeah, I messed it up when I was first doing it. It's,
oh,
it's easy
like,
to do.
Yeah, very, very easy to do. So it's I'm like, the chances of somebody spelling both my first and last name right are virtually impossible. I'm like, one of them is going to get messed up, so... I just take that as what's going to happen.
Yeah, I understand that personally very, very well.
Yep.
We're at the end of the show. I mean, half hour goes so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It really does. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Maybe when you have another show, you can come back.
Definitely. I would love to come back. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening to me blather on for the last 30 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Thanks. Take care.